I think abundance, see, I was confused by whether abundance meant an external abundance, which there always isn't. You can't say this. There always isn't. I mean, there isn't. There isn't an abundance of timber wood that can be sliced down, and there isn't an abundance of, you know, ozone. And there, I mean, there's some things that there's just not an abundance of. Okay? So if it's an external abundance, you know, a feeling of abundance, then we're going to have a hard time with that, okay? But I think if you're looking at an internal feeling of abundance, that's an attitude that you have. You know, in other words, the attitude that whatever I have is enough. Whatever I have is good. Whatever I have, I'm appreciative for. I'm grateful for. I enjoy. And so a feeling of contentment. Maybe that's what would be a Buddhist translation. Yeah, it's a feeling of contentment so that whether you have a lot or a little, whether it's actually external abundance or external poverty, your mind feels abundant. Your mind feels content.
You want, and I just can't imagine what would I do in my life if you replace that.
I mean, it's true because we're taught this is the meaning of life, this is the purpose of life. If you don't do it, there's something wrong with you. And not only if you don't do it, there's something wrong with you, but from our side, the anxiety of if I don't do this, what am I going to do?
Yeah.
You know, what am I going to do with my time? I think this is so... This is really relating to, we have so many time-saving devices, but we're busier than ever because I think we're afraid of the time-saving devices because we don't know what we do with the time. So we create other things that we need and other things we have to do to make sure we fill the time. And the whole thing is avoiding becoming friends with ourselves. You know, because the whole thing is looking for something outside rather than learning to sit and breathe and like ourselves and be friends with ourselves and be content being with ourselves because we're a nice person. Yeah? And it's all an escape from looking at ourselves. Yeah? And so what you would do with your time instead is to work to purify your mind, you know, and free yourself from the ignorance, anger, and attachment. Purify the karma so that it doesn't ripen. Meditate on bodhicitta. Do things out of bodhicitta for the benefit of others. I mean, His Holiness stays very, very busy. He doesn't worry about not having enough things to fill his time. Yeah? But his purpose of life is not to get better and more sense pleasure. So I think this anxiety that you're stating, it comes because we haven't been able to see what else we could do. But there's a whole lot else we could do. Well, I think, it's a difficult word in English because it can be talked about in so many ways. Mm-hmm. Okay, the word want in and of itself can be used in many ways. I mean, the Dalai Lama could see that it would definitely be better for others and for himself if Tibet were free. So he can definitely see that that's a beneficial thing. And so if he can aid in the creation of the causes to bring that about, great. But it's not like Tibet's got to be free because... And everything's going to be all right, and it's got to be free because I'm the head of Tibet, and I want my country back. This is mine, you know, and I want to live in the Patala because I want to be with all that gold and treasure and stuff that these people shipped off to China. You know, I want it all back. Yeah? So the mind is, you know, it's like looking and saying, well, yeah, if there's the choice between this and this, this is preferable. Why? Because it brings more benefit to self and others. But it's not out of this whole attached, clinging mind. Yeah. Or the idea of preferences can exist. Yeah. I mean, I'm just avoiding the word wanting because wanting so often we associate with wanting. Yeah. So, this is the difficulty with the word desire, too. because the word desire, like the word wanting in English, is often used one way, but in it can often be used to mean a preference and an aspiration and a positive wish, too. So there's a big difference between those two. I think probably to be fully content, so that that attitude will never change, then you definitely need realization of emptiness, which means you're, you know, big way, big chunk of the way along the path, okay? If you're developing just some contentment so that you can deal with your life situations better, that's good, but then that's this whole thing of compounded pervasive unsatisfactoriness, is that all you need is the condition to change a little bit again, and because you don't have full control over your satisfaction and your feeling of contentment, boingo, you know, because you still have the seed of the disturbing attitude inside, it'll come up again. Yeah? So you realize that that contentment, you know, it might be happening now, but as long as the potential in our minds exists for it to be otherwise, then you're not liberated. So then you still want to be liberated. Yeah. Yeah. That's what liberation is. It's, you know, being out of cyclic existence, not being under the influence of the disturbing attitudes and karma anymore. Yeah. So not being obliged to take, you know, obliged by the disturbing attitudes and karma to take a contaminated body. Yeah. Well, not all bodhisattvas are liberated. The lower level bodhisattvas are not necessarily liberated. They just have, you know, very firm altruism. When they reach what's called the eighth bhumi, the eighth stage, bodhisattva stage, then they've removed all the disturbing attitudes and karma. Eighth bhumi, or ground, eighth stage, eighth ground. When they've reached that, then it's definitely gone. Okay, forever and ever. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's lots of bodhisattvas. They don't all advertise. Yeah, the real bodhisattvas don't advertise, the fake ones do. Yeah. So all this material that I've been teaching is all material for meditation, okay? And we do the breathing meditation, we do the mantra and the visualization, you might do the prostrations, but the checking meditation, this is the material for the checking meditation. You know, all the things that you're getting here, it's not just teachings, you know, to listen to and then it goes, you know, in one ear, out that one. But it's stuff to really sit down and, you know, you have the outline, you have the points, to really sit and think about according to your own life. And then to discuss it with each other and, you know, and kind of share what your experience and feelings and fears are about the whole thing. Okay? And ask questions and keep meditating on it. And let's sit and meditate right now.